Stormy Martin is credited with saying that, but and she says that God's favorite three-word prayer, Lord, change me. And I wonder how many of us have ever prayed that, Lord, change me, because that's a very serious prayer. Lord, change me. And I agree with Stormy Martin here, God's favorite three-word prayer. You know, God absolutely loves to hear us say, Lord, change me, because he's all about changing us. Now, all of you know that since I came on board months ago now, we didn't make any changes. There, okay, now that got a laugh, right? Yes, we made some changes, didn't we? And some of them were not received very well. And so as I was thinking about Lord, change me, and praying that prayer, I thought, you know, what causes us to resist change so much? We all hate change, I think, don't we?
Yeah.
You all hate change?
Mostly.
Mostly, yeah. Why is it that we hate change so much? You know, I got a wonderful email from Ray Osborne. I'm terrible with names, but Ray Osborne from Virginia. And he was very, very encouraging, and he said, Pastor, you got a lot of guts doing an interactive sermon with the folks at Franklin Hill every Sunday. He said, but you know, it sounds like they're really enjoying the interaction. So I said, I emailed him back, and he says that he was always listens to the sermons online, and he interacts with the sermons as you interact with them. When I ask a question, he'll email me and say, okay, my answer to that is this, and so forth. So he's very much in sync with us and very much encouraged to have it online as well. So here's the interactive part. Why is change so difficult? Why do we resist change so much?
We don't want to stretch ourselves. It's out of our comfort box.
Ah, okay. You're stealing a little bit of my thunder, but okay, that's good. That's
we
good.
We know how to do it.
What's that?
We know how to do it.
We know how to do it. What do you mean by that, Jim?
If we've been doing something that we've been doing, we know how to do it.
Yeah.
If we're going to change it, now we don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to do with comfort, right? It's nice to know that based on our experiences and stuff, well, I've been there, done that before. I know, right, which is what you're saying, what needs to be done. And so we will find ourselves being lulled into what's comfortable to us, right?
We don't like complicated, right?
What's that?
We don't like complicated.
We don't like
complicated. Yeah. It makes the brain strain a little bit, so we fall back in our comfort zone.
Yeah, okay, yep. Anyone else? Why do we resist change so much?
We assume we're not going to like it.
Say that again?
We assume we're not going to like something different.
We assume we're not going to like something different. Yep. Because we like our lives the way they are. Don't mess with my life. Right? Yeah. Good. Megan. Anyone else? Say that again, Bruce.
I said we're all inherently lazy and change takes effort.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. I don't know if Bruce is speaking for himself or for me, but yeah, a lot of times we just don't want to do the work.
I'll be speaking for Vicki, who would say that about me.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Be careful speaking for Vicki, though, okay? But yeah, you know, sometimes we're just plain lazy, right? And change takes a lot of work. It means that we have to do something maybe differently than we've always been used to. And we don't like that. And it takes a lot of work. Okay. Someone else was saying something is. What? Okay, Rob, yeah.
Why try to fix something that's not broken?
Yeah. Boy, I've heard that many times. Yeah. Why fix something when it's not broke? Boy, I've heard that a lot, you know. That's another reason why change is so difficult. Well, could it be, I'm asking the question here, that we have created a world for ourselves as we want it to be? And as you all interacted with that question, that's pretty much the conclusion to everything that you all have said, right? We are comfortable in the world that we have created for ourselves, okay, as to what we want it to be. We want our lives to be a particular way. We want our habits to be particular habits. We want to talk a particular way. We want to live a particular way. We want to believe a particular way, right? And that's what makes change so difficult. And it's a world of comfort for us. And God's word is all about comforting us, correct?
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah. Makes us comfort. I love God's word. It gives me comfort.
Well, he throws a few.
I guess I should have Bonnie come up and do a sermon on that, right? Say that again, Bonnie.
God's word gives me comfort.
God's word gives us comfort. How many agree with that?
Well, I can go down.
Okay. Amen, right? God's word gives us comfort. Now, because you said that, Bonnie, now I have another question.
Okay.
Joe is shaking his head. He's like, uh-oh, Bonnie. Alright, does God's word always comfort us?
No. Because we need to grow.
What's that?
We need to grow in his word.
We need to grow in his word. It's always not about God comforting us. You know, when we're ill and we're sick and we need, you know, God's healing touch and so forth, and when I pray for people, as I do, those of you that ask for prayer every Sunday, I pray that God would, you know what I say, that God would snuggle up to you. Because that's the God we have. Paul says he's Abba Father, he's Daddy to us. You know, God, Daddy, will you snuggle up to me? I need you to comfort me. And God definitely does that. But there are times when it's not very comfortable. And as Bonnie said, that's when we need to grow. Now, how are we going to grow? Okay, if we're to grow, how are we going to grow? Well, it goes back to the slide that I started with. Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Right? But let me go on here. A world of instant gratification. Talk about change, right? We want what we want
now.
How many of you love to wait? You just can't wait to stand in line, right? You're all laughing because we all hate to wait. We're all impatient, aren't we? Boy, I am. I'll tell you. You talk about push my buttons. You know, if I've got to wait for. I probably shouldn't name the store that I go to, you know, that makes me wait every time, and they mess everything up, and, you know, I want to get in and out of there, and I'm there an hour because they messed up, and, you know, anyway, that's just my rant for today, I guess, because we want instant gratification. We want what we want now, and, you know, God is the God he is, because things are going to be according to his time. According to his time, not our time. And so, again, we don't want to wait because we are in a world of instant gratification. All of us are, right? A world where we are the masters of our own fate, where we determine how our lives are going to be lived. We determine. So, what does God's word have to say about change? Well, one of the verses that really comes to mind here is Romans, by the renewing of your mind. Now, in Sunday school, we were talking about knowing the word of God in many translations, and we were talking about the significance and the importance of knowing the Hebrew and knowing the a derivative of the metamorphosis, okay, that takes place. Now, you all know what metamorphosis is, don't you?
Changes.
Jim, what is it? What is
changes.
It?
Changes.
What?
Changes.
Yeah, changes. From what to what? Got an example for us?
Pupa to adult.
Yeah.
Butterfly.
Yeah.
Butterfly. Right? Yeah, like a caterpillar, right? A metamorph, you look at it and you say, what is that? That's a caterpillar. You don't say it's a butterfly, because it's a caterpillar. Until the metamorphosis takes place, and then it becomes a beautiful butterfly. Okay? And so that's what God is talking about. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Move from here to here. Now, a caterpillar, I had one fall on my head yesterday. I went, you know, because it's one of these big, furry, fuzzy things, and it felt on my neck, and it felt weird. So I knocked it off, and I don't like that. But butterflies are beautiful. They even have butterfly bushes, right, to attract butterflies. They're beautiful. And that's what God is telling us. Don't be conformed to this world. And in Sunday school, if you're not going to Sunday school, man, you need to come. It's more of a small group, as we talked about. And I'll tell you, we really have a great time discussing God's word together. But we were talking, again, about the changes, the controversial things that are going on in our world. And how is that determined? Well, it used to be a time when even the Constitution was formed around the Word of God. Now what's going on, right? The Word of God is missing almost everywhere. And we're governed by what's politically correct, not the Word of God. And so God is telling us, don't be conformed to that. Don't be conformed to the political agenda, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what governs what we do? What governs what we do? What happens first? Now, I'm getting into some psychology and philosophy here a little bit, but what causes us to do what we do? What do we do first? Everybody's saying this is a trick question. We better be careful how we answer this. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah. It all happens up here, people. Right? You know that, right? It happens up here. What we think will determine what we do. It will determine how we behave. And so God is saying to move from here to here, there has to be a renewing of your mind. And that's something that has to take place almost every minute of every day, right? How many of us take seriously the things that we think, right? And that we deal with the thoughts that come into our head? And you know, we talked about, Halloween and evil and the devil and all that kind of stuff. You know, we do battle against the evil one.
Amen.
But the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we need to be dealing. And how does the evil one? It's in terms of, you know, we are battling for how people think. We didn't talk about this in Sunday school, right? But it's really, how do we think? And the educational system, all the way from grade school to high school to college and beyond, it's all about what goes into this brain. See, the education. And where's this education coming from?
News media is trying to, you know.
Yeah, coming from all kinds of places other than the Bible. So we need, as parents, we need, as grandparents, we need each other to be in church. We need to be in God's Word so that our minds are being renewed. each and every day, because we are battling. We're in a serious battle for what we think and what we believe. And I'm here today because, you know, we need to know what we believe. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, that should be an amen for all of us. We need to know what we believe. And what do we think about what we believe? And what do we think about what's going on? And what is God's word? How does it mesh with God's word? Okay? Change. Let a person examine himself. Next week is communion. And Paul reminds us that we don't want to take communion lightly, because it is a sacrament of our church. And we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our lives to see if there's any wicked way in us. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be, there's the word again, renewed in the spirit of your minds. There it is again. And put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. How many believe that?
I know.
That there should be an amen to that.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
His edge right there. He uses it against us.
And in order to do this, people, right? An amen here. I'm setting it up, right? There ought to be an amen here, right? His ministry to you.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. I get excited when I from the inside out. Okay? And it's great to know that I serve a God that's unchangeable.
Amen.
Amen. There you are. Thank you. And it's complete, and it's on target, and it's constant. Wow, what a God we have. Asking God to change us doesn't mean we don't like ourselves. Doesn't mean that. You can like yourself, right? It's okay. We should. In fact, the Bible says that we are to love ourselves even.
Yeah,
right?
Jesus loves us. We should love ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the greatest commandment, right? That we love others as
we love ourselves.
We love ourselves. So it doesn't mean that we don't love ourselves or like ourselves. It means we want to become, and I like this, a better version of ourselves. Now, how many of you are done growing? Person here, I hope that you're still growing, that you still want to grow, that you still want to be teachable, that you still want to learn. Right? To become what? A better version of yourself.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And it's a version where we seek to make God the master of our lives, not master of our own fate. And ruler of our lives, living a life as God has instructed us to live. Not as politics or the political climate or what's politically correct. God's word. And how are we living? Are we living according to God's word, or are we more concerned about being politically correct? You allowed me to be the pastor of your church, and where I can. So, what behavior needs to change in my life? Wow, now he's got to meddle. What behavior needs to change in my life? And I thought, what was that, Sharon?
I need to love more.
You love? Thank you, Sharon, for volunteering that. I was going to. I was thinking about asking for some people to volunteer how they need to change their life, but I don't know about that. But thank you, Sharon. Julie, you had something?
It's Joanne.
I'm sorry. Joanne? What did I say?
Sharon.
Sharon? Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I called Jan Barbara last week, so anyway. And Joyce says, "You probably don't remember my name, do you?" And I said, "No." She goes, "My name is Joyce." I go, "Okay." You know, I remember faces, but anyway. So, Julie, what needs to change in your life, Steve, is how you spoke up for her. I won't put you on the spot quite that quickly. She puts me on the spot all the time, though, on Sundays.
Well, I need to trust in God more. Instead of myself, to trust in God and believe in Him. Because He believes in me. Sometimes we don't believe in ourselves.
You know, yeah. But a lot of times, I don't know about you, but with myself, when I think about change, I'm thinking, well, I need to love more, I need to trust more. And that's kind of, well, it's true, but it's kind of generic. I like to be more specific. What in my behavior needs to change? So that, right, I can ask myself these kinds of questions. More specifically, what do I say that hurts people? Or as somebody was saying, I think it was Sunday school. I think it was Kathy said, or how you say it. Right? We were talking about. I said, is it okay to offend? Yeah, it is. When it's in direct opposition to God's word. And then Kathy quickly said, it's how you say it, though. And that's right. That's that, and the Bible says that. Speak the truth. And the truth is offensive. You understand that, right? The truth is offensive. Or can be. But speak it in love, right? But what needs to change? And as I was preparing this sermon, you know, here's the, and Bruce probably can attest to this when he had to preacher a couple weeks ago. When you prepare a sermon, you have to deal with yourself first. You know? And when I put these up, you know, and what do I say that hurts people? And I don't know if it's what I say so much that hurts people, but how I say it. Because I'm intense. She's shaking her head over here. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, here comes my wife just in time. I'm intense, right? And my intensity can have its way with me in such a way that, you know, I state it very, very strongly like there's this the way it is. I don't mean that necessarily, right? But it comes across that way sometimes. And Ron, you can say amen to that. He's chuckling. Right? Ron has experienced some of my intensity, right? And Vicki has experienced some of my intensity, as I have experienced some of her intensity. And so, you know, I need to work on that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so if I'm willing to work on my intensity, because it might hurt you or it might hurt someone, then what are you going to work on, right? What are you going to work on? Are you intense? Or do you say things without really thinking it through, right? Or whatever it might be. Lord, change me. Specifically, yeah, I need to love more. Yeah, I need to try. But specifically, what in my behavior every day needs to change? What do I do that is harmful to the people I love? Specifically, what do I do that's harmful to the people I love? What kinds of thoughts rule my life? Because as we talked a little bit earlier, what goes on up here will come out here. Right? So we need to answer these questions. Lord, change me. The verse that we wrapped up with in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, Jeremiah says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else, in which there is no cure. and I'm at the front of the line with the Apostle Paul, right? My heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, in which there is no cure. And because that's true, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. If we say to him, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me or grievous way in me. That's the only way that we are cleaned every day. How many of you have been so dirty, right? Your clothes, you've been out in 90 degree temperatures all day long, you're sweating like a pig, right? And you're grubby and greasy and dirty and, you know, whatever else. What's the cure for that? Was that you, Mary? Yeah. A shower? Yeah, you know, when I'm that dirty and I get into a shower, it's like, man, nothing like a shower, right? And to go along with that, nothing like some really good soap, right? That smells good, right? There's nothing better than being clean, isn't it? Y'all love to be clean, okay? Isn't that wonderful? The only way that we can be clean is by praying this prayer right here. Lord, change me. Now, you might know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you don't, I want to talk to you about that. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right? He cleans you. He died. He shed his blood. He paid the price for the wickedness that dwells within our hearts, my heart. But how does that happen? You've got to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to say, Lord, change me, wash me, right? Though my sins be as scarlet, Isaiah says, right? My sins, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, are washed as white as snow. That the only way that happens is by saying, Lord, change me. Change me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And there it is.
What you're saying, we have to empty ourselves so he can fill us.
Absolutely.
We have to empty ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So that he can fill us, that's right. So, I always want to leave you with a challenge. And I thought about the challenge this morning, and I can't say it any better than this. So let's pray, and as we bow our heads, and we pray, in silence, I'm going to ask all of you, would you take the challenge seriously? Would you take God's word seriously? We're going to pray silently. And I'm going to ask you just to pray three words. Can you do that? Three words.
Amen.
And mean it. Let's pray together. Lord, change me.